Hello and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Heil Russell.
And I'm Jeff Onan.
Jeff, how was your March 10th this year? I never asked you if your March 10th went well.
It was regular.
You weren't constipated. That's good to hear. You
know,
all those rich Mario Day foods that we, you know, we all put on weight. We all, our diet is just thrown astray. No, March 10th, it's a wonderful corporate holiday.
Since it's about a plumber, it's important to eat foods that will clear out your pipes.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Well said. Yeah, I, you know, some people celebrate Mario Day religiously, some in a secular fashion, but I feel like the most wonderful thing about Mario Day, March 10th, is that it forces Nintendo and all of its licensees into a corner, right? Because the expectation has become you have to announce product on that day. You really have no choice because you've embraced this meme holiday and you've incorporated it into your portfolio, into your calendar of events. So now you have to make good every single year because the Mario gods, they demand it. You know how there's an anniversary every year for a game franchise, but every anniversary of five, if it's the 15th, 20th, 25th, 30th, 35th, 40th anniversary of something, everyone just expects the license holder, the IP owner, to announce a new game on that day. Like,
yeah, that's how many fingers are on my hand, so
right.
They have to.
Yeah, so everyone expects Rare or Xbox to announce a new Banjo-Kazooie game every anniversary of five, and everybody gets very upset when that doesn't happen. Well, it's kind of the same thing now for Mario, except Mario gets it every single March 10th. Oh, what's the Mario thing going to get announced today? It has to be something today because it's Mario Day. And Nintendo actually has to deliver because, like I said, they've embraced this as part of their promotional calendar. And so they fear real mob violence in a way that other studios don't. So this year, LEGO announced a Mario Kart expansion to their LEGO Super Mario line. So you can put your LEGO Mario figure or your LEGO Luigi figure or your LEGO Peach in a Mario Kart, a LEGO Mario Kart, I guess. But you can't put your LEGO Donkey Kong in a LEGO Mario Kart, Jeff. You want to know why?
Why? Tell me why.
Because LEGO Donkey Kong doesn't have a chip in him. So he won't work. It won't interact with the Mario Kart, Jeff. And in parentheses, I wrote in my show notes, he doesn't have a chip because he doesn't trust the vaccine and is voting for LEGO RFK Jr. And then I have a little notation. Should I do this joke? Do you think it was worth it?
No, I was kind of nervous. I read it here with my eyes, and
yeah.
I was like, did he resolve this? No? Is he going to do the joke?
I didn't know.
I hope it was worth it. Let us know. Sound off in the chat. Sound off in the comments. Like and subscribe for more, etc. Thank you.
Yeah, we have the hard-hitting humor here on The Conversation.
Very
Donkey Kong
current.
Audio program. Yeah, so on Nintendo's side of things, they announced three games for Nintendo Switch Online. So if you're a big fan of Dr. Mario for the Game Boy, or Mario Golf and Mario Tennis for Game Boy Color, I like those last two, they're all right, then it was a big day for you. But the biggest news out of everything was, in partnership with Illumination, Nintendo announced the follow-up to last year's Super Mario Brothers movie. And Jeff, you and I, we talked about the Super Mario Brothers movie quite a bit in the lead-up to the release last year. And there's a lot of ways you can read this press conference, or this press release. There's a lot of ways you can read the press release they released, because it's very weaselly worded. You know what I mean? They're not very clear on what their intent here is here, because the official press release says Illumination and Nintendo announce new animated film based on the world of Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that could be anything.
Yeah.
That could be Aquaman.
Yeah, so long as Aquaman is fighting Cheep Cheeps. You're right.
That's a good little off-the-cuff Mario thing. If you had told me, hey, name the fish on Mario, I'd have been like deer in a headlights. I would have had a nomia. Do you know what a nomia is? It's the word that means when you know a word, but you can't spit it out. You can't think of the thing that you're thinking of.
Gee, I mean,
I would have had that.
You have that. You have anosmia, right?
I do have anosmia. The lacking of a sense of smell.
Right.
But you would have just given me anomia if you told me, quick, what's a fish in Mario? But you didn't, so thanks.
Yeah. So basically the press release doesn't say much, except it keeps doubling down on this wordage that the animated film is based on the world of Super Mario Brothers, and it's going to be released, or at least is planned to, April 3rd, 2026, which I'm like, I'll be dead by then. What are you talking about?
Yeah. That's a fictional number. That's not a serious number, 2026.
So on this episode of The Conversation, Jeff and I, just like we blindly speculated on the original Super Mario Brothers movie, we'll be doing it again for the new animated film based on the world of Super Mario Brothers. I can't wait to get into
it. We're going to do it here in a very nice, cozy, intimate setting. Just me and Heil and 30,000 psychos that are listening on their iPods.
Yeah. I still use an iPod, yeah. Jeff, because I prefer to keep my music separate off my phone.
Yeah, that's stupid.
No, that way, if I'm listening to music, it won't get interrupted by the damn DK Vine hotline. Because people call in, Jeff, at 1-202-630-VINE.
When people call the DK Vine conversation hotline, it rings your phone?
My phone gets a notification, yeah.
I hate that. That would be... If that were me, if I was you, if I was the Heil Russell, which it... I could never be. I mean, I would never live up to it, but it would be untenable. I wouldn't be able to deal. I would not be able to deal. I would say, hey, stop calling. Stop calling this hotline. I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't need this. I'm trying to listen to the Lovin' Spoonful or something.
You're always trying to push the Lovin' Spoonful on me, Jeff.
they're my go-to joke reference of a band that I non-jokingly do listen to. It's either them or the Grassroots, I guess.
Right. No, the Grassroots. I see the Grassroots at least has Creed Bratton in it, which...
Right. Known arsonist.
Yeah. This is more timely reference. That's from 20 years ago now. So anyway,
ew.
You can call the DK Vine hotline at 1-202-630-VINE.
I'm personally looking forward to responding to all of your calls.
Yeah. That's so, Jeff's please. Favorite part of any conversation, as well documented. Jeff.
Oh. Whoa, Heil. What? I just remembered something crazy. I just remembered.
What?
I just remembered on the last episode of The Conversation that I was a party to, the last one that I was a co-host to.
Yeah.
I made a declaration, a promise that I would pitch a tagline, catchphrase, marketing slogan for the show every episode I was on. And I just remembered that I forgot to do it.
Well, you better be quick then.
DK Vine's The Conversation, celebrating 100 years of excellence. That could be the slogan.
That was better than your last one. I don't even remember what your last one was.
No, come on. That was good. All my homies love that one.
I'm saying it was better than your last one. I'm saying you're on an upward trajectory here.
No, but you can't put me up by putting me down. That puts me even. I don't like it.
It's my favorite Grassroots song. So.
So.
So, If you like the Super Mario Brothers movie, you might want to check out our merchandise store on TeePublic, because we have two thematically appropriate tie-ins that you can wear on your body. We've got the Congo Customs shirt, and we've got the Spoiler Alert shirt, i.e. the Swanky dies at 44 minutes, 30 seconds. So if you're not happy with the official Super Mario Brothers movie merchandise that was released in the past year, because they released very few things featuring Donkey Kong, they had that little like Polly Pocket playset for the Ring of Kong, and they had a Hot Wheel for Donkey Kong. But that's it. There were no Donkey Kong figures released outside of like fast food tie-ins. And I'm just like, where's the Donkey Kong? Why are they keeping the Donkey Kong product from seeping into the Super Mario Brothers movie line? So I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll just make two quality t-shirts and hopefully Nintendo won't mind. And so far they haven't, because they like us. You know, Nintendo gives us little noogies on the head. They think we're cute. So you can get those shirts for yourself at dkmy.com/merchandise.
Yeah, and I do recommend it. They're comfortable shirts. And the nice thing about them, this is not advertised on the TeePublic website. This is not lined out for you on the TeePublic website. But you can wear the shirts with nothing else on. You can go naked otherwise than the shirts. And some people will call this poo bearing. This is often called poo bearing. But I like to call it Diddy Konging.
Right.
If you want to put on a build hat, a baseball cap of your choice. But you could put on any cap and wear one of these shirts and nothing else and let it all air out, and you can feel like you are Donkey Kong's nephew.
The most offensive part of that whole statement, Jeff,
was the nephew bit.
Yeah. But
I know I'm a master troll. I know how to do it.
I would check your local laws, rules, and regulations before Diddy Konging, because I'm pretty sure
you could do what you want at your house or like on the lawn.
So long as you don't have large, spacious windows.
Or like, those are my windows. It's not my fault if your eyes are.
You at least keep the curtains drawn then. I mean,
Heil, I'm trying to sell the shirts. You're really underselling the shirts. You don't have to cover your testicles when you wear the shirts.
All right. Well, you're doing a great job of selling these shirts, Jeff. Thank you.
On dkvine.com/merchandise.
I thought you were going to give a bullshit fake URL like you normally do.
No, I almost gave a fake URL because I had to think really hard about what was the real one. Uh-huh. I think I got it right. Yeah. So,
okay. All right. Good job, me. All right. Well, hello to the live stream. Hello. We got the Snakefighter 64 back in the live stream. We do live stream these episodes for our patrons. $5 and up at dkvine.com.
The Snakefighter. Oh, sorry. At dkvine.com/Patreon. Now, I thought you might say a bullshit URL. See, this goes both ways. You can say your stuff at me. I can go right back at you. Snakefighter 64, by the way, in the live stream chat, said that your joke about Robert Kennedy Jr. was mid. And that's the type of engagement you can get if you become a patron on Patreon. For DK Vine, you could tell Heil in real time how mid his jokes are.
And I'm fine with that, because you know what? That's halfway to success there.
You got their money. of course you're fine with it. It's good. We're cool.
You know who else got a lot of money, Jeff?
Tell me that.
Illumination, Universal, and Nintendo. Because last year's Super Mario Brothers movie made $1.36 billion at the box office.
Billion?
Billion with a B.
Billion?
Yeah. So, yeah,
American dollars.
You know, it should come as no surprise to anyone that the follow-up has already been announced officially. And this is coming at a time when the movie industry is struggling. Just really flailing to adjust to the ever-evolving entertainment landscape. Because we have the post-pandemic state of movie theaters. You know, people aren't going out to the movie theaters like they were pre-COVID for numerous reasons. We got inflation. We've got just the realization that, hey, you know what? Maybe I don't want to be in a room full of strangers who are just champing down on the popcorn and getting their spittle everywhere. You know, maybe I can just sit at home and stream something, because that's another big thing that's taken a dent out of really everybody's profit margins is the streaming wars. And all of a sudden you can just stream on demand. Jeff, I know you're a cinephile, and so you love the theater experience.
Yeah, but I like to fuck movies. That's what cinephile probably means. No, I'm a big fan of the movie theater, and I'm a huge anti-fan of the streaming services because they continually get worse. I liked HBO Max for a minute, and then it became regular Max, and it started to suck, so I stopped paying for it. I had Disney, what is it called? I always call it the wrong thing.
Disney Plus. Plus, yeah.
I always want to call it Disney Infinity. But that was the video game about the toys to life.
Right.
Disney Plus, I had it only for a minute, and then I said no. Anyways, I don't like to stream these things legally. I do like to sit in a room and champ on popcorn.
Yeah, you also like to go outside wearing no pants. So
at my own house, at my own lawn, between here and the mailbox, that's my zone.
You're just copping to all sorts of illicit activity.
Don't look. You don't want to see. That's not you. I like to go to the movies. There's nothing wrong with any of these things.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to the movies. I'm just detailing the reality that
the reality
Hollywood
is
facing.
That the Mario movie is going to get a follow-up.
Right.
By Universal and Illumination.
Because anything that works, anything that's a success, generally the studios want to double down on it because they don't have many leads right now. They don't know what to do. And the curious wording of the press release does have some fans questioning how much of a straight sequel this is actually going to be. Because why didn't they just call it the sequel to the Super Mario Brothers movie, the Super Mario Brothers movie 2, whatever. You know, they can divulge the actual title when the first trailer premieres, or when they do the trailer to the trailer, or the preview to the preview trailer, or whatever bullshit they do nowadays. But, you know, why go with this very ambiguous, mealy-mouth wording? And because I run DK Vine, Jeff. A lot of people are coming up to me.
Tremendous people. Fabulous, fabulous people.
With tears in their eyes. And they're
very
saying
very smart.
And they're asking me, Sir, do you think this will be the purported Donkey Kong movie spinoff? We at DK Vine, along with several other news outlets, had first reported on the possibility back in November of 2021. Although we discussed it a bit earlier here on the conversation. And this was from reliable reports. We had heard that Illumination and Nintendo both had a desire to potentially spin off Donkey Kong from the Super Mario Brothers movie into his own feature film, being the lucrative push that Nintendo and Universal, the distributor of the movie, wanted to give to Donkey Kong, what with the expansion to Super Nintendo World in both Osaka and Orlando. And yeah, so they were potentially breaking down early ideas for it. Now, how far this got, I can't honestly say. They may have been hearing pitches for it. It may have just been tabling what they didn't want to touch with the characters of Donkey and Cranky and the other Kongs in the Super Mario Brothers movie to save for the potential DK movie, you know, earmarking what was acceptable ground to cover and what they'd want to get to later on in a DK movie should they make it. So I don't really know how deep in the weeds it ever actually got beyond merely maybe being this hypothetical, yeah, well, we'll do that later if we can get this successful Super Mario Brothers movie off the ground first.
Yeah, the MCU, Mario Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, Jeff, because while I still think that could very much be in the cards and be part of their potential long-term goals, I do think the likelihood of it being the next project from Nintendo and Illumination is very slim. Because, as we mentioned, a lot has changed in Hollywood in the past few years, especially since COVID. And a big thing that's changed, and this is even more recent, the zeal to create cinematic universes has kind of deflated a little bit. It's kind of not as frenzied as it was throughout the 2010s. Because in the 2010s, basically every studio was trying to replicate the MCU formula, which was shit hot, and everybody wanted to get in on the action. If Marvel and Disney could have this huge, sprawling cinematic universe with interconnected films all leading to these big tentpole releases, then surely everybody could do that and the results would yield the same. Universal. You know, Jeff, you and I are both fans of the classic Universal monsters, right?
Yeah, they're spooky.
They're spooky, they're kooky, they're delightful. But Universal, they tried to get their monsters.
They're all together ooky.
They tried to get their monsters.
It took me a minute to remember the line.
You got there in the end, though, and that's what's important. Unlike what Universal did with their monsters, because they tried to get their, you know, it's the original cinematic shared universe, Jeff, Universal Monsters. They tried to get it going again with the so-called Dark Universe, and that petered out after one film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping they were going to do a Dark Abbott and Costello, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
They are part of that universe.
That would have been like the big Avengers event, right? Like Dark Abbott and Costello
meet the Dark Wolf.
Dark Frankenstein or whatever. Yeah. I think it's ludicrous, though. They had the big press release. They had the like Photoshop picture of all of the celebrities that were going to be the anchors of the cinematic universe, and it ended after one movie. It was like,
do you remember when they released the trailer for that Mummy, but they accidentally, what was it they did? They left out all the sound editing, so it was just like Tom Cruise screaming as he falls out of an airplane.
Yeah,
and
it was.
Then it became a meme.
It was just the sound effects.
Yeah, it was like Tom Cruise screaming as he fell out of the airplane. I'm not sure if they did it on purpose, hoping it would become a meme. But I don't think it didn't work. It did become a meme, but not in a good way. The film didn't succeed. I didn't see it. I am a fan of The Mummy, and I didn't even see The Mummy.
No.
I didn't see it.
And they had the big, like, oh, we're gonna have Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll be the Nick Fury of this universe. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, who's going to be Mr. Hyde? Like, come on. Give me the full story.
Disney, you know, they had such success with the MCU that they tried to expand Star Wars into a similar formula with off-year anthology movies. And that kind of cratered the brand. Like, their second attempt with Solo, that's how much box office it got. One person bought a ticket. It was it.
Boom. Zip. Zang. Zowie.
The aforementioned Lego brand had the Lego Movie, actually written by the original directors of Solo, to show you how insular Hollywood is. That was released by Warner Brothers and also starring Chris Pratt. I'll be damned. But the Lego Movie was a big success. Huge success in 2014. And
tremendous. Fabulous.
All right. All right, Jeff. Tone it down a bit. Dial it down. Sorry. Just a couple notches. Right.
I'm at a 9. I ought to be at a 5.
They followed that up. They saw cash in their eyes, and they're like, we're not going to immediately follow up the Lego Movie with a direct sequel. We're going to do two spin-offs. And so 3 years after that, they did the Lego Batman Movie, which did pretty well. The Lego Batman Movie did pretty well. And then later that year, they had the Lego Ninjago Movie, which did not do well at all. It was actually a huge disappointment, and it started to show the risk of diminishing returns when you kind of go all in on a concept without really gauging if the market has been properly tilled for this. You know, they just were like, all right, people want Lego movies, let's go. And kind of misread the audience a little bit. They like Batman, they like Lego, but then you start throwing things like Ninjago into it, and they're just, you're losing middle America, you're losing the cheap seats.
I saw all of the Lego movies in the theaters, including Ninjago, and when I went, I was the only guy in a room. I was in a room, a whole room of theater seats. There was one man in there, and that was me, and I was seeing the Lego Ninjago movie, and it was uncomfortable. I was like, hey, I'm comfortable going to the movies by myself. I wasn't always. That took a while. That took some getting used to. But if I'm going to be the only guy in the whole room, doesn't feel right. Does not feel appropriate.
Jeff, to be fair to the Lego Ninjago movie, you're not supposed to see a ninja. They're supposed to be stealthy. So it could have been a packed crowd. You just weren't being observant. But yeah, then they followed that up with the actual sequel to the Lego movie in 2019, the Lego Movie 2, the second part. And that was also...
It's a very clever pun.
Yeah, but it was also a disappointment, financially speaking. It's not exactly a flop, but very, very minuscule box office compared to what expectations were. So Warner then sold the rights to Lego to Universal. And the franchise is entering hibernation as Universal tries to figure out where to go with it next. So that brings us back to Universal's new hot property, the Super Mario Brothers movie. And while I am sure there was every intention to strike while the iron was hot and use the Super Mario Brothers movie to launch a number of both sequels and spin-offs, I feel like the public is just burned out on cinematic universes. I know you are, Jeff. And that extends now to Marvel, because the MCU just seems to be misfiring more often than not nowadays, with some exceptions. I still stand by Moon Knight. Moon Knight's pretty sweet.
No, I don't have an issue with cinematic universes. I just don't like bad movies.
But Moon Knight was pretty good.
It was solid.
Yeah, thank you. That's all I wanted to hear from you, Jeff, is just acknowledging Moon Knight.
Moon Knight was solid.
Yeah. So, do I think that any potential Donkey Kong movie is scrapped? I don't think it's scrapped, but I don't think it's a priority right out of the gate. I'm sure Nintendo would be very keen for it to happen, as would Illumination, but the safest route forward during these uncertain times for all parties is to try and ensure that the next movie also breaks $1 billion at the box office. And that's very hard to do because you can only capture the zeitgeist so many times before the public moves on to something else. So I do think they are going to try the path that takes the least diminishing returns, the absolute safest one. So despite the weird, odd, strange wording of the press release, I do think it's just going to be a straight sequel to the Super Mario Brothers movie.
I think that the path of obvious returns and easy, all that stuff you said, is to do Barbie. I think if they did Barbie 2, the second part, that movie would make $1 billion.
Would it, though? Or is the zeitgeist past? Is the conditions that led to the success of Barbie and Oppenheimer, is that just last year?
Can they time it? Can they time it with another historical Nolan film about nukes?
What they need to do is have Christopher Nolan direct the sequel to the Super Mario Brothers movie, because I think that would be...
And they call it Barbie 2.
Right. There. You're just putting, like, everything that worked in last year's movies together in one package.
I, uh, I've already seen like articles of like, oh, Barbie movie was successful. We need to do other Mattel brands. Let's get Rock'em Sock'em Robots and Hungry Hippos. I'm like, bro, homie, do you have a brain? Do you know what made Barbie good?
Yeah.
It was not that it was a toy.
Yeah.
That's not what it was about. That's not what made it happen. I don't think that the Monopoly board game movie or whatever shit you're trying to push is gonna have a Barbie effect. I don't think so.
I think that Hollywood executives, by their nature, are just really dumb people. And it reminds me back when the original, well, not the original, but the 1989 Tim Burton Batman movie came out. And it was a sensation, right? And so what Hollywood executives took from it was kids really love 1940s pulp heroes. and so they That's just true. Chased this trend yeah. with like, Dick Tracy, we got to get The Shadow in theaters. And it's just like, no, you're not getting this right, you idiots. But I do expect Illumination and Nintendo to just double down on what people loved about the first movie. The public loved Bowser being Jack Black, singing his little song. I think you're going to get another rock operatic song or two or three or four in this next movie. I think it's going to be, what did people like about the first one? We need more. We need to just get it all in there. Like, I don't expect this movie to be a artistic triumph. Not that the first one was, but I do think they are going to play this annoyingly safe.
I disagree.
Disagree? Oh, it's getting spicy here.
Shit.
Oh.
We're in Spice World. We are in Dune Part 2, Spice World, because I am Baby Spice, and I'm about to go to Arrakis and have giant worms. I'm mixing a couple of things that I have no knowledge about either one of them. I've never seen Dune, and I don't know Spice Girls.
You haven't seen Dune yet?
I haven't seen Dune ever. Don't say yet. Like it's bound to happen. I don't care about Dune. I don't care about Timothy Timothy.
You nailed that. 10-10. Perfect dismount.
What is he, off-brand Johnny Depp? He's gonna play every character Johnny Depp ever played. He's Wonka. He's Edward Scissorhands. I don't give a fuck about Timothy Chalamet. That kid is nothing to me. Nothing.
Wow. This is coming from nowhere, Jeff. This
Dune?
Anger.
More like, what you doing watching that shit? What you doing wasting your time? I don't care about Dune. I'm not watching Dune. I'm not buying that fucking popcorn bucket that you're supposed to fist. I'm not fisting a popcorn bucket. I'm here to eat popcorn. I'm with my family.
Champing down on the popcorn. Right.
I'm champing down. I want to enjoy it with my family.
So,
I don't want this pornographic Dune movie, but I'll tell you this, Heil. I disagree with your take about Mario and movies.
Please tell me. Please explain to me how I'm wrong.
I think it might be the Donkey Kong movie.
You think it's actually... So you're doubling down on this. You're putting your chips in, and you're saying, I'm going all in on Donkey Kong, baby. I'm mixing my gambling metaphors.
I'm putting my chips in, unlike a voter of RFK Jr., who is not getting any chips. No 5G here. I'm putting my chips in. I think that the wording, the ambiguity of the wording,
yeah.
A film, what was the wording? I gotta scroll up.
It's in the
an
episode
animated
title.
Film yeah. based on the world. Yeah, I'm supposed to know the episode title. A new animated film based on the world of Super Mario Brothers. Speculation Center. That's the title of the episode. But no, I my thinking is just that the framework and the setup of the first movie feels too deliberate in seeding the spinoff. It's almost it seems pretty clear in the way that it is that it was always the intention that we're building the world within the world so that in a future spinoff we can visit Donkey Kong World, Donkey Kong Island, Donkey Kong's movie. And it's just odd to me to make a Mario movie with that much of a focus on the Donkey Kong, and specifically Donkey Kong Country trimmings and trappings. I think that because of how much seeding they did in the first movie and how much rumoring they did on the internet computer and how much vagueness they did in the announcement of the next movie, I think it could be, it could be the Donkey Kong movie.
Like, if that was the plan, I don't necessarily think that is the plan now, but why use the ambiguous wording? So I will grant you that, Jeff. Like,
you will grant me that it might maybe be.
So I think it'll be a straight sequel to the Super Mario Brothers movie, and if they do a Donkey Kong movie, it'll come later. But I want us to go through our ideas for what the Super Mario Brothers movie follow-up, whatever it is, could be about. Because I've got some ideas. I want to hear what you think.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go into some of the ideas. What will the... Oh my god, I gotta scroll up again. What will the new animated film based on the world of Super Mario Brothers Speculation Center movie be about?
Yeah, Speculation Center, you don't need to say that part. That's part of our title. That's not part of what they said.
Oh my god, I read what I see. It's a teleprompter issue.
All right, so if we're to go off the end credits tease of the Super Mario Brothers movie, then of course you gotta get Yoshi in there, because we saw Yoshi's egg in the Brooklyn sewers and it started the hatch, and they had the insert of the game audio of the Yoshi and let everybody who was finishing off their tubs of popcorn know that, hey, there's a thing, you know, it's coming, maybe in the sequel. You can leave the theater happy.
It was Godzilla 98.
It was 98, yeah.
It was a very Godzilla 1998. Same. And I hope that what hatches from that egg is another Godzilla 1998 instead of a Yoshi.
I mean, that was
that'd be a twist.
That was a good summer. We got Banjo-Kazooie. That's all I have to add to that.
Yeah, we got Godzilla 1998. Like, what more could we want?
So here's where it gets confusing for me, Jeff, because the Yoshi, like I said, it's in the Brooklyn sewers. It, like, I don't know how it got there, but Mario and Luigi at the end of the movie, they've moved to the Mushroom Kingdom. So what will bring them all together? So here's my pitch. You ready? All right. I'm not even going to give you a chance to say yes or no. You're just going to get my pitch.
No, I'm always ready.
All right. Yoshi has hatched, and he's running rampant in Brooklyn. And he's a hungry baby Yoshi, so he's feeding. He's gobbling up pizzas. He's gobbling up Vespa scooters. Babies, maybe? Probably not babies. They're probably not going to go that far. But there's a panic in the streets of New York City because they think, according to the media, the tabloid press, some sort of vicious velociraptor is on the loose. And so Mayor Pauline, who we briefly saw in the first movie, she's like, I gotta call the Super Mario Brothers, right? So she somehow sends a letter or some sort of interdimensional telegraph to the Mario Brothers, and they say, you gotta come to Brooklyn and find this dinosaur, because I know this dinosaur is from your neck of the woods. Come get it. And so the Mario Brothers, they return to Brooklyn. They find the baby Yoshi, and they find that it's not a vicious dinosaur, just a scared little baby. And at this point, they agree to journey with Yoshi to find his home. Meanwhile, Kamek, who had a large role in the first Super Mario Brothers movie, Kamek knows what Yoshi is and is actually hunting Yoshi. Why? I'll get to that. But Mario and Luigi, they don't know why Kamek is hunting Yoshi. All they know is Kamek is on their trail. And I think that's all well and good, but this would be a little bit more effective if we hadn't actually seen the characters trekking across Yoshi's Island in the first movie during the travel montage. This is where I get a little confused with my plot hypothesis and where I think maybe they won't go this route, because we saw Mario, Peach, and Toad already on Yoshi's Island in the first movie, and they couldn't help themselves. They were like, we gotta get Yoshi's in there. We're saving up Yoshi for the end credits, but we want to put Yoshi's in there so bad. So they blew their money shot, Jeff, and we already saw the Yoshi's Island. So that made me think, well, okay. It would make the whole Exodus, the whole Odyssey, no pun intended, to Yoshi's Island feel a little bit deflated, considering Mario's already been there in the cinematic world. So maybe this Yoshi ultimately doesn't belong on Yoshi's Island. Maybe that could be a misdirect. Maybe that's just one leg of their journey, but not the destination. So I started to think about some other things that were maybe hinted at or alluded to, or that they could tie in from other games. And I started thinking, what if the ultimate destination of this movie is actually Star Road? Just like it was in the game that Yoshi's Island debuted in, Super Mario World. Now, Star Road, this metaphysical, otherworldly land in the sky with magical properties. So maybe I don't know, Yoshi could be the lost princeling of Yoshi's Island or something, like part of a royal family or something. And the royal family, they are the protectors of the gateway to the Star Road. I think the Star Road will come into play.
Okay.
See, here's why. Because if the themes of the first movie were believing in yourself and living up to the expectations of your parents, then I think the second movie will be about orphans, finding out where you belong in this world. And I think they're going to tie back to Peach's origin story that was alluded to in the first movie. So, you know, we had that little flashback with Baby Peach in the original Super Mario Brothers movie. And weirdly, Baby Peach, she's already wearing some sort of royal cape. This is before she becomes the princess of the Mushroom Kingdom. She just strolls out of the warp pipe. She's got this cloak or cape on. She's also got a little baby skirt that's covered in moons and stars. So I'm thinking, you know, Bowser is in captivity at the end of the Super Mario Brothers movie. So I think he hatches this plot while in captivity, and he tells Peach he knows where she came from. And then he basically cons her into letting him out of prison so he can guide her and Toad to her origin point. And it can be a journey of self-discovery. Now, I think in the cinematic universe, Baby Peach actually is Rosalina's long-lost sister. And I think they're going to do some merging of Mario canon by combining the Lumas with Star Road. And the movie will culminate with both parties, Mario, Luigi, and Yoshi, Peach, Toad, and Bowser, all converging on Star Road, where we learn that Bowser and Kamek have been in cahoots this whole time. They're trying to use this as an opportunity to harness the power of the Star Road to control the cosmos.
All right. Yes. All right.
Just as the first movie was this bizarre mashup of the original Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, Mario Kart, a little bit of Odyssey, I don't think the sequel is going to be adapting any particular game, like some people seem to think. I think it's just going to draw elements from Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, Galaxy. I think it's just going to throw a bunch of different things in the pot and be like, here's your sequel. It's full of other things, just like the first movie was full of different things. How do you like it now? What do you think?
If it's a sequel to the Mario movie, if it's a second one, then sure. Some of these things, I think they would do stuff about Yoshi, Mario, Kamek. The Peach Origin stuff sounds interesting. Star Road. I feel like they won't ever use the phrase Star Road, because who? I think they'd tie more at that point into just general Mario Galaxy terminology and aesthetic. The Cosmic Observatory or whatever.
It might not be literally called Star Road, but I think the concept would be similar to how it was in World and Super Mario RPG. And
the concept of Star Children,
mm-hmm.
where there's like five or six, I can't remember, like cosmically destined characters with some sort of cosmic power that translates to the cosmic realm. I think that it's a safe bet that the sequel will go into the cosmic realm of Mario in some fashion. And I think it's a very safe bet that it will involve Yoshis. That's what Yoshi sounds like. But yeah, all that other stuff, sure. Maybe. I think they have to also seed new next things, though, right? Like, I don't think that Mario the Movie 2 exists and doesn't do Wario.
Oh, I think Wario would come for the third one. I think that's what they would, like, start, like, maybe planting some seeds, some post-credit stuff for a third one. But I think they're going to save Wario.
Well, as a fan of very mediocre animated movies like these that have a lot of sequels, one of the things that, yes, Heil knows, I'm a big fan of the Ice Age film
franchise. I knew Ice Age was coming.
I'm a fan of all of these. I'm a fan of all of these sort of just like popcorn, lowest common denominator family.
Jeff loves.
I like Madagascar.
Champing the popcorn.
I champ popcorn. I'm not going to go fucking see Dune. It's 3 hours and 300 minutes. That's too much. Timothée Chalamet is not a leading man. He's not a compelling character. We don't want more of him. He's like a sweaty, pale grossy. We don't want that.
I love how your image of him is just like a garbage pail kid.
Yeah,
it's
he's like
so skewed.
He's a street junkie. We don't want more Timothée Chalamet. Stop putting him down our throats like he's the next one. He's not. He's gone. He's out. But what we do want is sequels to mediocre animated movies. And what these sequels do always, and something you've nailed, is they take the characters you already are familiar with, but they repair them in different configurations, because there's always going to be an A plot and a B plot so that they can switch back and forth between different things going on. And one of those things that you touched on is this idea of, what if Bowser is traveling with Peach and Toad? That's interesting, because that means that alternatively, now you have Mario traveling with Luigi and Yoshi, perhaps, which is just a different configuration of the same characters. But that's what they do in a sequel. That's what happens. So I could see that. But you also have to introduce new characters. Always. Every time. Ice Age 2 brings in not just Ellie, potentially the last female mammoth, so that Manny the Mammoth is now thinking that he might need to breed with her to save the species. Like, obviously she's voiced by Queen Latifah. That goes without saying.
Goes without saying.
Right. But it doesn't only bring in her, but it also brings in her twin brothers, the Possums, Crash and Eddie, because she was raised by possums. And so she's a mammoth that thinks she's a possum. And so Manny is like, oh, I have to breed with the last female mammoth, but this mammoth believes she's a possum? That's what happens in the second movie. The third movie, of course, brings in yet more new characters. You've got Buck Wild, the adventurer in the lost world down under, down below the ice, where the dinosaurs still live. And then by the end of the movie, of course, Ellie gives birth to Peaches, the daughter of Ellie and Manny, who is a female mammoth baby. But in the sequel to that, she's a teenage girl played by Kiki Palmer. Who doesn't want that? But that's not all, because that one also introduces Sid the Sloth's grandmother, voiced by Wanda Sykes. Because you gotta have a new character in every movie. You gotta have a couple of new characters. And the fifth movie, as we all know, has yet more new characters. I'm drawing a blank. It's some guy.
Oh, you're disappointing me, Jeff. I was like, wow, Jeff's knowledge of the Ice Age franchise is almost encyclopedic. This is impressive.
I know the villains. The villains in that one has Nick Offerman and Schmidt from New Girl. But the only new good guy is a guy that's dating Peaches. It's like a really shitty mammoth who nobody cares about. And I don't remember who voices him. Nobody knows. Oh, wait. Was Josh Peck in one of these? Oh, no. Josh Peck is one of Crash and Eddie. He's one of the possums. Of course. Of course.
Every time you say Peaches, I want to interject and bring us back on topic.
When you said baby Peaches, you said baby Peaches here. And I was like, are you talking about Peaches from the Ice Age film franchise? I was so close to interjecting. But I know when to do that and when not to. And my point overall is that I think that the sequel has to take the cast of the first film and it has to expand that cast with some more stunt celebrity casting and more characters that are going to steal a little screen time. And I would not at all be surprised if, as an example, maybe a B-plot or even a C-plot is that Wario and Waluigi are just kind of on the side doing their thing, kind of following the group, sort of trying to sabotage something for some reason. Maybe they're working for Kamek and they're trying to get in there and do the thing. And then every once in a while, we cut to them having a little slapstick moment where they're, you know, team rocketing on the side to throw a Pokemon reference in there.
Yeah. Just so the kids don't get bored.
Right.
So I do think that Wario and Waluigi, like, I don't know if there would be room in this movie for them, because there's a lot of characters you have to juggle, and we haven't even gotten to Donkey Kong yet, so.
Do you know how many characters are in Ice Age 4, The Collision Course?
No,
do you know,
Jeff,
how many are in there?
But I don't really care either. I'm just speaking to what I know right now. And what I know is the Super Mario Brothers movie. It was a very packed, breezy 90 minutes. And you're right, they've got to introduce new characters. Now, Yoshi, I think, is going to be the big new character. Maybe Rosalina. But Wario and Waluigi, I do think they are coming to the franchise if it, you know, lasts beyond this movie, and I'm sure it will. I think the way to introduce them would be they're trying to capitalize on the success of the Mario Brothers, whether they're plumbing business or just their heroic exploits, and they're trying to basically edge them out as these hapless competitors. And they're not out and out villainous, but they're rivals nonetheless. And then, you know, they just make a lot of farting and a lot of pratfalls, and maybe there's room in there for them. But if there is, I don't see how there's any room for Donkey Kong. And this comes to the biggest crux of the sequel, in my opinion. Because do I think Donkey Kong will be in it? Yeah, I do. Simply because I do think this movie is going to, again, be doubling down on what people liked about the first one. And people really liked Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong. But I do think it's going to get very hard to juggle all of this once again. Because here is the thing about Donkey Kong and the original Super Mario Brothers movie, Jeff. The Jungle Kingdom and the Kongs, my favorite bits of the movie. And I am biased, sure, but I thought that was the part of the movie that was the most tightly scripted. It had the most winning dialogue, in my opinion. But the arc for Donkey and Cranky and how it related to Mario, I thought it was the strongest, but I also thought it wrecked the screenplay. because they focused almost a third of the Super Mario Brothers movie on Donkey Kong, and they left barely any room for Luigi as a result.
That's true.
So, in my review on DK Vine, I gave the Super Mario Brothers movie a B-, but that was mostly because I thought it was decent fan service, and as a Donkey Kong fan, I was serviced well. But I didn't go into that movie, you know, expecting something brilliant. I didn't expect to see Oppenheimer or Barbie. I knew what I was getting. And it wasn't groundbreaking cinema, but I enjoyed it. I wasn't annoyed by it. So I walked out of the theater with a sense of jubilation. I was like, okay, they didn't completely screw that up. And as a Donkey Kong fan, I feel like I dodged the bullet. So it was a pretty good feeling. And it was, you know, happy Nintendo imagery on the big screen that kind of hung together well. And I was like, okay, that's a B- for what it was. But the great paradox of the movie, Jeff, was it was enjoyable, but it was a terrible screenplay. And I think the thing that really hindered it was the Donkey Kong detour. That was the best part of it. But that shouldn't have been the best part of it because it was the Super Mario Brothers movie. And they spent way too long dwelling on Donkey Kong and Cranky Kong and that whole side of the universe. And again, I'm not complaining from a Donkey Kong fan perspective. I loved it. But from minute 43 on, it was about Mario and Donkey Kong coexisting. Luigi took a back seat after that. Luigi doesn't reunite with Mario until an hour and 12 minutes in, and the credits roll exactly 15 minutes after that. So, Jeff, you know how you always go on about how if you can't guard the swordfish in your Donkey Kong Country game, you're making a bad Donkey Kong Country game?
Yeah, no, I do go on about that because it's a statement of fact.
Okay. I would posit that if you sideline Luigi in your Super Mario Brothers movie, it's kind of a bad Super Mario Brothers movie.
I can see that. I can see that. I would also offer up this counterpoint, unrelated to what you said. I think that earlier when I said Ice Age 4, I might have said Ice Age 4, the collision course. That's obviously Ice Age 5. Ice Age 4 is Continental Drift. I think I said that wrong. I think I didn't say it right. So with a little movie magic, with a little post-editing, Kyle's going to fix this one up, I'm sure. I'm sure when I listen back to this, I'm not going to hear what I'm saying right now. Probably not.
Or I could leave it in and I could just let you get so many angry letters.
Angry letters. That's the sequel to Scrabble. Be good. Sounds like a...
Can't wait for the Scrabble movie.
My brain is just lighting up. I'm ready to make a game right now. All right.
So we're Donkey Kong partisans at DK Vine.
Clearly.
And surely we are. We love that Donkey Kong had so much focus. Like I'm not complaining about that from a Donkey Kong journalist perspective. But as a washed up screenwriter, I'm insulted that the movie did that because it really did detract from the overall focus. It was a bit shoddy, the craftsmanship of it. And I don't know. It's a solid B-, not too bad. But I'm only saying that because I really love some Donkey Kong.
No, I feel the same way. If the Donkey Kong parts weren't in it, I probably wouldn't like it as much as I did.
Yeah.
But it was fine. I like cartoons.
Obviously, there is this expectation, and from what we've heard and talked about, it was the intent that there's going to be a Donkey Kong movie eventually. But how do you work in Donkey Kong into the sequel if Donkey Kong was always earmarked maybe to get his own movie after this? And I've said before that I could see them doing something like a Zoom conference with Donkey and Cranky at some point during this movie. But I could also see them maybe taking a detour to the Jungle Kingdom again. Like, maybe Mario and Luigi have to go to Cranky for information on the Yoshis. Or Bowser and Peach have to go to the Jungle Kingdom because Cranky Kong knows something about the Star Road or Cosmic Observatory or whatever. And I don't see them going on the journey with them again, though. I think that would be really muddled and confusing. Although they might feel like they have to at this point, because they might feel like the expectations are baked in. So I don't know. Like, I can't see them devoting as much time to Donkey Kong, aside from just the need to use Donkey Kong. But you're always going to accrue more characters the more sequels you make. Like, how can you have them all hang together, especially when Donkey Kong and Cranky Kong, like, live an entire travel montage away from the main characters?
Yeah, so I will talk about a animated franchise as an example.
Oh, God.
One of the examples is the film Shrek.
That's the first time I've been relieved to hear about Shrek, because I thought you were going to talk about Ice Age.
Bro, I already talked about Ice Age. You know all about it now. You've learned all you can learn. Shrek has Shrek and Donkey and Fiona. But Shrek 2 has Shrek and Donkey and Fiona and Puss in Boots. Right?
Right.
Shrek 3, Shrek has babies, I think, in that one. They've had babies. There's baby Shreks. And Shrek 4, nobody knows about Shrek 4. I'm not sure what's in Shrek 4. What's in Shrek 4? Wait, is there a Shrek 4?
Isn't that the one where Shrek makes a wish to be a single again?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's all those other ogres.
Wait, I'm not supposed to know that, so I'm sorry.
No, you know what it is? Shrek 4 was supposed to, because I remember when they were very first chit-chatting about making Shrek 4, they were on the computer, and the rumor was, oh, Shrek 4 is going to be about Rumpelstiltskin, and he's going to be played by Paul McCartney. I was like, what? All right. Shrek 4 is going to be about Rumpelstiltskin. He's going to be played by Paul McCartney. And then later, at some point, they said, no. We're going to do Rumpelstiltskin, but he's not going to be played by Paul McCartney. He's played by some other person, like a Hollywood actor. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll still watch it. And I did. I don't remember how it goes. But the point of this is, as sequels go on, you start to you always expand the cast, but you also sideline previous characters. That's just how they go. For example, in the Ice Age film franchise, you know, in the fifth movie, after we've already gotten our fill of Wanda Sykes' character, she leaves the group and permanently retires to a different zone, a different place, and we're left to expect that she probably won't be in the sequel. Right? So that's what they're going to do. I think that Donkey Kong will maybe not be in it. Or if he is, it'll be a sort of a denouement.
Oh.
Which is...
Ooh la la.
Which is French.
Yeah. Well, you know, historically, Donkey Kong and animation...
And France,
yeah, they've gone together so well. I think that... Yeah, because, like, they resolved Donkey Kong's character arc in the first movie. And the next obvious direction to go with the character would be he's resolved his father issue, so it's time for him to mentor the next generation, and he's going to be mentoring Diddy. But that's a plot that would require the Donkey Kong movie to tell. And so,
Right. Like,
I do think they still have that earmarked in their, like, their folder, their binder full of ideas, Donkey Kong movie. But they probably are going to play this a little bit safer than just launching right into that, because you don't want a Ninjago situation.
You don't want a Ninjago situation. I'll be the only man in the room. I'll be the only man in that room at the Lego Ninjago movie, or the whatever applies to this one. What I'll say is this. Here's this pitch.
Yeah.
I think Mario movie 2. Mario 2, the movie, opens in media res, which is a phrase.
It is.
That means in the middle of the action.
I know what it means. I think.
I'm saying it for our 30,000 listeners.
Okay.
They don't have the chips that are going to beam that information right into them. They need to know. And media res. So yeah, I think it opens right up to an action. I think the first scene opens right up of Mario and Donkey Kong resolving a problem. There is some sort of minor antagonist,
ooh,
a situation that needs resolving, and the two of them are there, and they fix it up real quick, first 10 minutes of the movie, and they fist bump it out. Pleasure working with you. Thanks for Donkey Konging around here. And then they go their separate ways. And that is how they bring Donkey Kong into the movie, is a quick little, oh, there was a moment where the two of them happened to be involved in something. But the point of that is that they don't have to write a reason for Donkey Kong to be there, because it's in media res.
Yeah.
And it is just opened in on the action. You just have like, oh, there was some moment where the two of them resolved an issue and Donkey Kong goes on his way, and then he's absent the movie after that point. But that's how they do their little wink and remind the audience he exists without having to kind of write him into the movie or out of the movie.
Yeah, it could be like, you know, a Bond movie. Bond movies always open up with James Bond on some sort of mission that might be just tangential to the main plot, or it might just have one little kernel in it that pays off later, but it's just basically James Bond is out James Bonding, and something happens, and then that sets up the main movie. And so, yeah, that would be a way to actually incorporate Donkey Kong in a way that doesn't intrude upon the main storyline or storylines of the movie. And then you could even do maybe multiple end credit scenes where, and tease one of them as, oh, here's what's happening with Donkey Kong back in the Jungle Kingdom, and oh no, his bananas have been stolen or something. They probably wouldn't do that plot, because how could you do that plot in a movie? But you know what I mean. Like, you would do something that maybe would set up the Donkey Kong movie. And I know I thought, hey, maybe they'll set up the Donkey Kong movie in the end credits of the first one. But we're just going to be playing this game until we actually get a Donkey Kong movie.
Yeah, see, you get it. You understand good movies.
Yeah, I saw Oppenheimer.
Yeah, you've seen all six Ice Age movies.
Yeah. I saw the original David Lynch Dune.
I thought you were going to say the original Ice Age. I'm not going to lie, it's a good movie. Like, why are people out here not watching it? I don't understand. Dune from David Lynch, I'd probably watch it. I don't want to watch that new one with what's-his-face. But
yeah, I know. What, he's going to get cast as Diddy Kong in the Donkey Kong movie, Jeff, and then you're gonna have to backtrack.
I'm going to have to reconcile one of my beliefs.
Because when we get him on the conversation for the interview, and it's going to be pretty awkward.
I have a couple of beliefs. One of the beliefs is that Diddy Kong is good. The other belief is that Timothée Chalamet is bad. I'm going to have to pick one of those to give up on.
Yeah.
And I'm not set in stone on which it would be.
But then
I might leave DK Vine.
But then he's going to come into the studio, our little cozy recording studio. He's going to come in wearing a shirt, a hat, no pants, and you're going to be like, this guy gets Diddy Kong. Oh my God, I was wrong about him.
That might win me over if he did that. But also, like, his pale, sweaty genitals, like, I'm supposed to be impressed by those? His just, I don't know, his knockoff off-brand Johnny Depp thing, I don't want to look at his penis. I don't. Sandworms, Dune. I've never seen Dune. I can't properly reference Dune. No, okay. No, I think this is a good time for us to transition to our next portion, which involves the both of us in an equal amount, and that is where we're about to take calls from the callers, from the listeners who called.
Yes, we do have some calls to take. We got quite a few calls from the Snake Fighter 64 in our live stream chat. She called in six times, and I've strung them all together into one 15-minute call, I think. The length of time that Mario and Luigi are reunited in the Super Mario Brothers movie. But we've got some calls to take after that. Jeff's going to be here for the entire time, the entire duration of the calls. because Jeff loves calls. That's you hate Timothy. What's his name?
Yeah. No.
But you love taking listener calls, and so we thought, well, you know,
I'm here for it.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna go ahead and take that first call.
Hey, this is Jennifer, aka Snake Fighter 64. So we're talking about the Mario movies follow up. Well, I got pitches for you. Basically, these are basically just what I would do if I were in charge of these movies to put my fandom of Mario and Donkey Kong to work, as well as the film degree that I spent 4 years on, but I'm not currently getting paid to use because... and yes, I said pitches because I have something for following up the Mario movie and for a Donkey Kong movie, and this is probably going to take multiple calls. So here we go. Mario starts off with Mario and Luigi off doing some adventure-y thing. The only thing important about it is they're away from the Mushroom Kingdom while it is attacked by Bowser Jr. Leading the Koopalings to both rescue their father and kidnap Peach to take her away to Delfino Plaza to get us a nice Mario Sunshine callback. And the other important thing is that while Mario and Luigi are away, they are meeting Yoshi for the first time. The capital Y, Yoshi. Totally not frustrating at all that he doesn't have his own name compared to the species. I guess Toad would be with them too. So they come back, they see everything is in shambles and that Peach is gone, and Toadsworth gives them a little exposition that they need help and rescue them. And they can't call from the Kongs for help because they're having their own separate lizard trouble. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That's a little for the audience to know because of the upcoming Donkey Kong movie. But Peach was about to go and have diplomatic relations opened up with another kingdom that she had heard about but had never actually visited, called Sarasaland. Which works, because that's a way to have Daisy in this universe, but also, and to have Peach kind of know about it, but not have ever, still have it work the way it said in the first movie, that she's never seen another human before she met Mario. Alright, I'm running low on time on this call, so I'm gonna hang up and call back. This is Jennifer, Snakefighter 64, just gonna keep rolling. So, Mario, Luigi, Toad, and Yoshi, go to Sarasaland to try to recruit Daisy. Meanwhile, we go back to Delfino Plaza, Isle Delfino, to occasionally to see Peach basically navigating this hostage situation. This is kind of what people wanted from the first movie, to see a little bit of that, kind of how she works in the Paper Mario game, where, you know, she's still kidnapped, but she's still taking action, and this, because Bowser is also here with his kids, we also get to see, you know, Dad Bowser, which is something that I wanted, and one of the things that I think Jack Black would excel at in his particular portrayal of Bowser. We cut back to that occasionally while Mario is in Sarasaland, and while he's in Sarasaland, they meet Daisy for the first time, and Luigi falls head over heels, feels for her. Sucks to be you people who shit in with Bowser for some reason. I don't get that. Luigi falls for Daisy. And she agrees to help them if they help her rid her kingdom of her own little problem, which will be Wart. Because let's be honest, people would be way more excited to see Wart than it would be for Tatanga, and there's desert in Sarasaland, there's desert in Subcon, and the movie would be called Super Mario Bros. 2, so it works. Plus, this would also let us get to see some of the Mario 2 villains. It would let us get to have small cameos, kind of like the Ring of Kong segment, from Mauser, from Tri-Ply, from Quagrip, from Fry Guy, in this segment where Mario, Toad, Yoshi, and Luigi and Daisy go to battle Wart and his minions. During the segment, Yoshi would also meet Birdo and fall in love with her, and Mario would facepalm again and be like, is everyone going to fall in love on this journey? It's a little joke. And this team would also be kind of thematic because their teamwork in this fight, they would still win, but their teamwork would be a little shoddy. They wouldn't be working together very well. You know, that'd be a little bit of scheming. So they end up getting to Isle Delfino, and Peach busts free, and Bowser Jr. uses the paintbrush, and I gotta hang up again. Be right back. Jennifer, Snake Fighter 64, just gonna keep rolling. Yeah, I probably should have mentioned earlier, Bowser Jr. has the magic paintbrush from Super Mario Sunshine, and he used it in some way to break out to rescue his father and kidnap Peach along with the Koopalings. The other Koopalings, they wouldn't honestly be that important. They would all be voiced by minor celebrities for billing, but they wouldn't be that important characters. Bowser Jr., though, gotta go with the person who voices Bart Simpson for that role. I think that's Nancy Cartwright? She's a celebrity. It's the voice of Bart Simpson. Forgive me if I'm not quite up on the name. Anyway, and it would either be in the Mushroom Kingdom or in this scene when they first get to Isle Delfino and rescue Peach that we get Petey Piranha as something that Bowser Jr. makes from the magical paintbrush. And their teamwork is coming together a little bit better, but it's still not quite there. And maybe they take out the Koopalings, maybe they don't, but Bowser and Bowser Jr. escape to the top of the volcano. They give chase, final showdown, and Bowser Jr. decides to power up his father one last time with the power of the paintbrush, just like in the recent Bowser's Fury thing, because that's exactly where this came from in that game's story. He created Fury Bowser in Bowser's Fury using paint from his magic paintbrush. In that game, it was an accident. Here, he'll do it on purpose. So we finally get their teamwork. They're all working together fluidly. And we get to see Mario and friends fight a giant kaiju Bowser and his son in a little clown car with a paintbrush. And that's the climax. Maybe at some point Birdo comes back as a defector and joins the team. And maybe at some point it would probably be good to have Toadette in there so we can do the rule of threes with Mario's friends falling in love and Mario being frustrated because that distracts him from helping out. Like, he wasn't stumbling over himself when he met Peach in the first movie. Actually, was he? I don't quite remember. Alright, I have much less to say about the Donkey Kong movie because I have thought about it in less detail because I feel like it is much more self-explanatory. So that'll probably be much less call. I'll be right back. Hey, Jennifer, SnakeFighter64. So, while this can either happen while the Mario movie 2 is happening, or slightly before or after, but it will be lightly acknowledged during the Mario movie plot as an explanation for why Donkey Kong is only making a small cameo. Because he's getting his own movie. And basically the whole setup is Donkey Kong, he has his father's respect, but he's not all the way there. And one night he and Diddy Kong are tasked with guarding the Banana Horde, and they decide to instead go out, have a party with their friends. This lets us get some cameos from a bunch of other Kongs. And while they're out partying, the Banana Horde is stolen, and Cranky Kong is mad, and Donkey Kong is required, and obviously the Banana Horde would be stolen by the Kremlings, and Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong and Dixie Kong are tasked with going out across DK Isle and then to Crocodile Isle to recover the Banana Horde. And this would probably be a kind of condensation of set pieces from DKC-1 and DKC-2, minus not minus anything, just, you know, it would kind of be a loose adaptation of both of the first two Donkey Kong Country games, just without the specific plot of Donkey Kong getting kidnapped in the second game, because, you know, the movies don't have to be exact. And I think it would allow the next movie to be more unique if it didn't have to be one-to-one with any specific Donkey Kong game. And another thing, because the carts were destroyed in the Kremlin's ambush, they can't use them. So DK, Diddy, and Dixie have to use Animal Buddies. They have to use Randy and Unguard and Espresso and Flock to get around instead of the carts. So, yeah, that is much more simple. I don't have it all plotted out like I did with the Mario movie because, like, that is all you need to say. They go on their adventure. Other Kongs are there. Other Kremlins are there. And they beat K. Rool in the end. That's all you need. I really hope you play all these calls because I've been thinking about this for a while. Have a good night. Hey, this is Jennifer. After I got a chance to cool off after trying to auctioneer speak out my ideas for the Mario movie, I thought of a handful of other things to say about the Donkey Kong pitch that I had. I agree with what Malik Cartoon Gamer said on his videos and in the stream that I think Kristen Schaal would be a great Dixie. Lots of people say Stephen Fry would be a great King K. Rool, but I personally disagree because he came out in support of J.K. Rowling, and I am trans, so that is not okay. Sorry to make this political, but that's why I don't want him in the movie. I don't want his voice in K. Rool's mouth. I think a lot of the other cameo cons would probably have different voices, would have like less, they'd have like voice actor voices like they did in the Mario movie because they wouldn't be as big. But Diddy would probably have a different voice actor than he had in the Mario movie because he'd be a bigger role. And honestly, I'm probably thinking, like, I don't know why, but just like, Ryan Reynolds? Just the idea of him maybe doing a slightly higher pitched voice for Diddy just kind of works. Because Diddy can be a little bit smug, but he can also be a little bit of a coward, and I just think it would work for Diddy. Clump and Crusha, I think it would be fun if they kind of retained the way they were in the DKC cartoon, where they're individual characters rather than a rank of Kremlin, and maybe even try to, you know, retain their personalities, because, you know, that works. It kind of works. And then the one other thing, I forgot about this. This is about the Mario movie. Post-credit teaser. Someone has been impersonating Mario and Luigi in Brooklyn, and as we find this out, we just hear Wario's laugh. Yeah, and then that sets up that Wario and Waluigi will be in the sequel. Or the prequel, I guess. Yeah, just some extra thoughts I had after I had the chance to cool off. Can't wait for this one, and my unofficial co-starring role. Have a good night. It should be James Earl Jones voicing King K. Rool. He could probably do a British accent, or maybe he doesn't even need to do a British accent. And also, they should work with Microsoft, or maybe they don't even need to work with Microsoft, to at least have, like, a cameo or a reference to at least Banjo. This is an American team making this movie. They could and will probably want to do something like that. And, like, maybe they don't need to actually work with Microsoft. Maybe they do. But it would be fun to just have a little reference to, like, Spiral Mountain or Banjo, like, have a jiggy in a museum or have Spyro Mountain on a map or something just fun like that. The way people were saying that Sarasaland was on a map in the first movie. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Honestly, I have no idea. I'm going to leave this one up to Heil.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to be able to unpack all of that, but I do think I can, I don't comment on a few things here or there from the last 15 minutes. Thank you for the calls, Jennifer. Well, I don't think James Earl Jones would do it because I'm pretty sure James Earl Jones is retired at this point. He's getting up there, and it's not that he couldn't do it, but I think he's just living out his remaining years comfortably. I think I read something that Darth Vader was now going to be basically AI. They're just going to use James Earl Jones, the accumulation of all of his life's work, to create Darth Vader's lines in all future Star Wars movies. So I think James Earl Jones, maybe that would have been a good, you know, pick 20, 25 years ago, but I think that ship has sailed, unfortunately. So speaking to your ideas for the Super Mario Brothers movie sequel, you know, who's to say? Because just like my ideas, I'm pretty sure I'm only going to be 5 to 10% correct. The biggest problem with trying to predict any of this, right, is that as we're all people who grew up with the games, and it's kind of hard to separate our expectations from what goes into making a Hollywood screenplay. Just like it was very hard for me to accept some of the changes they did with Donkey Kong. And, for example, instead of being Donkey Kong Island, there was the Jungle Kingdom. And I understand how it worked for the movie. And when you're trying to simplify everything into a screenplay. So all that being said, like, I don't necessarily think we would see things like Wart or Tatanga in a Super Mario Brothers movie sequel. I also don't think it's impossible because I would have never said when they first announced the original movie way back when that we would be seeing Chunky Kong and Swanky Kong in cameos in it either. Completely bowled me over, took me by surprise there. So, you know, it's anything's possible. I just don't think we're really going to see much in the way of anything that isn't a core component of the modern Mario series. And one thing you did bring up that I actually thought was apt and I wish I'd thought about was Bowser Jr. If they do go with the thematic notions of my idea, not a one-to-one thing like, oh, finding the Star Road or whatever, but if they do make one of the central tenets of the movie finding out where you came from or where you belong now, I could see this whole plot with Bowser not knowing he has a son. And of course, that raises some questions like, well, who's Bowser fucking? But you could go into this plot with maybe Bowser Jr. seeking out his father. I don't know how you can make that work, but it's definitely possible. Like, My only concern with Bowser Jr. or the Koopalings is, you know, you're just adding a lot of characters to the pot. And Jeff, you know, said, we got to add more characters. You got to accrue more characters and then maybe sideline older characters. And if there's a Donkey Kong movie, that will open up more room for more Mario characters to enter the fray. But I don't know. It's quite a lot to juggle. And then, of course, we've got the which princesses do you bring in next? Do you bring in Rosalina? Do you bring in Daisy? A lot of people, such as yourself, want Daisy. But I think the winds are blowing towards Rosalina. I think they're going to go into space, ultimately. But, you know, Daisy would give Luigi a little bit more agency as a love interest. I do want Luigi to have more agency in this movie and to be more of a co-equal lead to Mario. As much as I loved having Donkey Kong be the co-lead of the Super Mario Brothers movie, it's doing a disservice to the source material. It's doing a disservice to the character of Luigi to just sideline him. So, yeah, let's give Luigi something to do. So anyway, I'm checking in with a live stream really quick. We got Colton the Robot saying, I never knew I needed Ryan Reynolds Diddy until now. So Ryan Reynolds is my celebrity arch nemesis, as I've made abundantly clear on past conversations. So to put Ryan Reynolds in the voice of my favorite character of all time chafes me just a little bit. But just like Jeff would have to get over it, I feel like I would have to get over it as well. I would just have to, maybe that would be me learning to embrace Ryan Reynolds, you know, having him actually voice Diddy Kong. Maybe we can have a meeting of the minds, because honestly, once upon a time, I ended up to here with Seth Rogen. He was in all these Judd Apatow movies, and that was defining Hollywood comedy at a time where I was just trying to break into screenwriting, and I didn't want to write those kind of movies. I didn't find them funny. So Seth Rogen kind of became the antithesis of everything I despised about Hollywood. But now he's voicing Donkey Kong some of the time. So how do I feel about that? Well, it's whatever. I'll meet you halfway, Seth Rogen. Just Andre in a live stream says, some obsessive Koopa fangirl dug Bowser's used tissues out of the trash, and 9 months later, boom, Bowser Jr. And yeah, I hadn't heard about the shipping Bowser and Luigi. That's weird. I mean, I understand people are going to be shipping basically any character. All they have to do is have a dream about it, and then it becomes an underlying obsession. But I don't know. I don't know if we need to ship anybody with anybody, right? Like, I don't even know if, like, anybody needs a love interest in the next movie, especially if it's about origins and finding out where you belong, etc., etc. So, I don't know. Yeah, but thank you for the calls, Jennifer. We'll see who's right when it all shakes out. I'm not saying I'm going to be right. I'm going to be dead wrong for all of my predictions, but that's part of the fun, right? All right, let's take our next call.
Hi, old Jeff. This is Traveler of the Stars. No time for compliments, Kyle. This time I got to be snappy, to the point. I feel like when there's a Jeff episode, I like to talk a lot because, you know, I love Jeff, but Jeff does not love me or calls, so I got to be snappy. No jokes this time, Kyle. So, Mario Movie 2, big surprise, you know, yada yada yada, of course. Can I just say, correlation does not equal causation. And I know that's I'm so smart term, but no. It's true. And what I mean by that is, just because there's another Mario movie announced, and Nintendo didn't announce a Donkey Kong movie, it doesn't mean that there's no Donkey Kong movie. It's really annoying seeing these people on the internet not understanding that just because one thing is announced doesn't mean that nothing doesn't happen. It's very annoying. I don't know. Anyway, for what I want out of a Mario movie, I would sort of love to see, like, an escalation of the previous one, and then maybe, you know, a third one. I'm a huge Super Mario Galaxy fan, so I'd love if, like, the third movie would be, like, you know, the one in space, since that's, like, sort of I feel like we love when things come in trilogies. I think Kyle said that recently. So, you know, it makes sense that the end one would be on space. Anyway, oh my gosh, this one's already over a minute long. What would I want? I mean, I'd like to see Donkey Kong, but I'm not sure if there's much of a point to using him. Granted, I did really love him and Chris Pratt's chemistry. I know that some people rag on the Mario movie for having not the, you know, a lot of plot. Personally, I like that about the Mario movie. I didn't go to a Mario movie for plot. And honestly, I think one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when they were in the Unagi Eel, and Mario's like, oh, is that what their dads? And then Mario, they're having a mopey moment, and I was like, oh, they're gonna have like a heart-to-heart, we're not so different after all moment. And I really liked when Donkey Kong was like, yeah, well, your dad's right. Like, that was actually funny. Like, I really, really liked that moment. So I'd like, if Donkey Kong weren't in the movie, if they were to have someone else with, like, similar banter, maybe they'll sort of allude to him doing something else, like, oh, Donkey Kong's doing something else, or yada, yada, yada. I don't know. Maybe Bowser, because he's a king, will be in cahoots with King K. Rool. He'll be like, listen, I need to take down Mario. King K. Rool, you help, let's help a brother out. Help reptilian kings out. You go take care of him. Maybe that's, you know, high thinking. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's almost 3 minutes. I wanted to talk a little quicker. I'm sorry, Jeff. I just love talking to you. And Kyle, you guys are great. Anyway, I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Oh, I'd love to see characters in costumes too, like, you know, Mario. I think there's a Leek with him in like a different outfit. Maybe Luigi and Lederhosen. I don't know. That'd be cool. See you.
Thank you for the call. Honestly, I have no idea. I'm going to leave this one up to Heil.
Yeah, Traveler of the Stars, I really don't appreciate that you referred to the portion of your calls where you generally compliment us as jokes. Because it makes me think you're not being serious about all the high praise that you give us each and every call, which always buoys me. It boosters my spirits. And you just referred to it as a joke. So I'm feeling a little crestfallen right now. So I don't even know if I want to dissect the rest of your call, but I will because I'm a professional. So yeah, you know, the whole thing about people flying off the handle, well, they didn't announce a Donkey Kong movie, ergo the Donkey Kong movie isn't happening. This is generally a problem I have with the modern, it's not just Nintendo, but I'm focused on Nintendo because of my job and the bubble I'm in. A lot of online Nintendo fandom, I don't want to say they lack critical thinking skills, but I do think just the way everyone consumes news nowadays, it is very lacking as far as connecting dots. And yeah, just because something isn't announced doesn't mean it's not still in the works or they don't plan to do it later on. One thing I didn't even discuss in the earlier parts of the episode when we were talking about the potential of a Donkey Kong movie is that we're also coming off of the writer's strike and the actor strike, which sidelined all Hollywood productions for the better part of a year. And so it's just basically we got to recoup the losses from that time period. And so that's why I think they're going to play it safe. And I do think a Donkey Kong movie is still something all parties want to do. It's just a matter of let's get the surefire hit out the door first. And maybe we can build to it a little bit more. Do I think Donkey Kong's going to be in it? I think it's going to be limited. I would be shocked if Donkey Kong was part of this for any longer than Jeff's idea of it being like the sort of cold open action piece, or if it was just an ancillary scene or like a Star Trek Into Darkness. Here's Spock. Here's old Spock talking about Khan. Because, yeah, I think anything more you could do with Donkey Kong, it's going to be the Donkey Kong movie. I think his story vis-a-vis Mario is effectively done. And he's not really the kind of character that presents himself in a tag-along fashion as, say, Toad would. So, yeah, I still think a Donkey Kong movie is likely. I just don't think it's what this press release was about. I don't think we're going to go into the theater April 3rd, 2026 to see the Donkey Kong movie. As much as I would prefer that scenario, as much as that would make me over the punched moon to have the Donkey Kong movie. I'm not saying I don't want the Donkey Kong movie. I'm not even saying I don't think the Donkey Kong movie's happening. I just don't think it's coming next. I think it's going to be the Mario sequel. That being said, the wording's very ambiguous. Who's to say? I mean, maybe even it's going to be the Luigi movie. Like, maybe Mario is going to be sidelined in this and we're all wrong. But yeah, I'm glad you said you wanted the space stuff in there, Traveler of the Stars, because that was my idea, right? Where all this is headed for the sequel is outer space. They had Rainbow Road in the first one. How do you top Rainbow Road? You just go into damn intergalactic space. And that's how I think they're going to top it. Thank you for the call, Traveler. I don't think you annoyed Jeff all that much.
Hello, DK Vine. Captain Radley here. Well, let's get this out of the way. The movie coming out in 2026 is not a Donkey Kong movie. Like, I'm going to be real with you. Like, I've seen the little screenshot, like, leak of the... there was that little leak that ended up being taken down via copyright with the... Mario and Luigi walking in like a storeway area. So unless Mario and Luigi are in the Donkey Kong movie in that little marketplace before the movie, like I really doubt the movie coming out in 2026 is a Donkey Kong movie. But honestly, I don't really think that's a bad thing per se, because like Yeah, remember the Lego movies, like how the writer of the Mario movie wrote the second Lego Mario movie? Well, they did two spin-offs before the second Lego movie, and the second Lego movie ended up failing because people already got burned out by the Lego Batman and the Lego Ninjago movie. So, like, for the sake of the brand, maybe this might seem off, like, maybe it's probably best that we get the spin-offs after the Mario sequel. Plus, there's no reason they can't make multiple movies all at once. Like, we don't need, like, the directors behind the first Mario movie to direct the Donkey Kong movie, right? So, like, surely we can get the Donkey Kong movie, not in 2026, maybe 2027 or 2028. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's probably not the time for the Donkey Kong movie. I feel like we're going to get the Mario movie sequel first, the spin-off like Donkey Kong and whatnot later. I'd love to be proven wrong by whatever scoops or whatever you have regarding a Donkey Kong movie, since, you know, that's more whatever Illumination's cooking is in more closer to you than EPD. But as far as I know, the Donkey Kong movie isn't the 2026 movie, but I'd love to be proven wrong. Anyways, that's all I really got to say. See ya.
Thank you for the call. Honestly, I have no idea. I'm going to leave this one up to Heil.
Well, thanks, Captain Radley. I don't have any fresh scoops. I'm all out of the scoops, unfortunately, when it comes to what's happening behind the scenes at Illumination. I just had the one little dollop. And, so, like you said, yeah, I do think the Donkey Kong movie could be coming a little bit later, if this next movie is a runaway success. Like, I don't know if it will be the same sort of frenzy that the first one was. Like I said about Zeitgeist, it's very hard to keep something in the zeitgeist. But if they're able to stick the landing on the sequel, and it does do enough box office that it isn't a complete cratering of the franchise like we saw with the Lego movie series. And I hate to be so harsh on Lego. Lego, we're friends with the Lego folk now, right? They released Donkey Kong's Treehouse. They released Diddy Kong and Funky Kong and the Minecart expensive $100 plus set. They released Dixie Kong's Jungle Jam. They did a little Rambi. We love the fine folk at Lego. They gave Dixie her guitar from Donkey Kong Country 2. So I feel bad ragging on Ninjago, but you don't want to repeat the mistake of the Lego movie series. And so I do think you followed up with a direct sequel before you start spinning off in every direction. Now, that being said, I think a Donkey Kong movie wouldn't be a box office disaster. Don't misconstrue my words here. I think that there's enough goodwill towards the cinematic version of Donkey Kong. And I think when you've got things like the Donkey Kong theme park up and running in both Japan and the United States, then there's going to be a lot more hype for Donkey Kong as a movie than there would have been just a couple of years ago. Hopefully, you know, we also have a new game to help that as well. But I think another Mario movie is probably just the way they want to go. I think that after everything that transpired in the industry in the last few years, any plans to immediately launch with a Donkey Kong movie were probably, if not put on hold, then reconsidered for the time being. But I still think, look, they've got Rogan, they've got Armisen under contract. So I think that they're going to probably do it. But I also just think that the zeal for cinematic universes, the moment's kind of passed. And I hate to say that because it feels like the moment always passes before we get ours. We were just talking the other week on the podcast about how it feels like the time to strike with a Banjo-Kazooie revival. We've passed the peak moment for the nostalgia for the N64, and we're now in GameCube nostalgia, and we're entering towards Wii nostalgia. So it's just like the moment is always lost for us. So I do think that Donkey Kong is a little bit more evergreen, though, than Banjo-Kazooie, just by virtue of it having Nintendo's full support at all times, even after a decade with no new games. And so I think they'll be pushing for it. I think Illumination will want to do it. But I also think the market is just a little bit different than it was even 3 years ago, even coming out of the pandemic, when everybody was just resuming the projects that had been in work before everything shut down because of COVID. But who's to say? Like I said, all I heard about was their plans to do the Donkey Kong movie. I haven't heard anything since then, so this is just me blindly speculating. But that is why it is a speculation center.
Hi there, Hyle and Jeff. This is Jer Rare Bear. I'm excited to call in about this speculation conversation we have going on. I've given a lot of thought about what a Donkey Kong Country movie might be like. I even wrote a script for one and redrafted it. And my best guess is that the follow-up to the Super Mario Brothers movie will probably just be like a Super Mario Brothers super sequel where it'll add Yoshi and Daisy and Wario and maybe some other characters. So I'm not sure if Donkey Kong will even return in the sequel. But then again, I was wrong about Donkey Kong just being a small cameo in the Mario movie, where he ended up being like a major part of the cast. Like, look at the movie. Mario couldn't have saved Luigi without Donkey Kong's strength helping him out. So I think Nintendo will probably try to signal boost Donkey Kong as much as possible, so he might show up in the sequel, or who knows, we might actually get a Donkey Kong Country movie next. That would be pretty mind-blowing of Nintendo to do that. So excited to hear the rest of your thoughts on this conversation, and love you guys, and keep being awesome. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. Honestly, I have no idea. I'm going to leave this one up to Heil.
I would be shocked if Donkey Kong is in this to the extent he was in the first one. But like you said, I didn't think Donkey Kong was effectively going to supplant Luigi as the co-lead of the movie, like starting at minute 43 or so. Who's to say, right? Like, I'm approaching a lot of this from, as I said in response to the call from Jennifer, I'm approaching a lot of this from my perspective on Donkey Kong and Mario as a video game fan. And then I'm trying to apply that as a screenwriter. But I think approaching it from a screenwriting perspective first and foremost also doesn't work, because that's not how you would do a Super Mario Brothers movie. So I don't know. They could just do whatever the hell they want. And they're like, no, Donkey Kong has to be in it because he was one of the favorite parts of that first movie. But I will say this. There has been incredible restraint as far as the merchandising goes. Where is the Donkey Kong figure from Jack Specific? Where is all of the Donkey Kong stuff, the Cranky Kong stuff for the movie, this huge movie, one of the biggest of 2023, all of this licensed product, and there was barely any Donkey Kong stuff factoring into it. And so part of me does suspect that they were purposely told not to do too much in the way of Donkey Kong, at least as far as a standalone thing. Except for the exception of the Hot Wheels, of which they already have the Mario Kart license, and then the little miniature Ring of Kong playset. Maybe they were told not to go all in on coming out with Donkey Kong stuff because they have plans to do Donkey Kong movie later, and they don't want to overly saturate the market with Donkey Kong toys now. I don't know, like, as much as I'm trying to be even-handed about, oh, you know, the Donkey Kong movie might not be happening as soon as we thought, that's still a possibility because, yeah, you look at the merchandising and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense with how conservative they've been using Donkey Kong. I don't know. Well, thank you for the call, Jer Rare Bear.
Hey, Kongversation. This is TJ, and I'm calling in to give my thoughts on the newly announced follow-up to the Super Mario Brothers movie. So, first things first. Do I think this will be the supposed Donkey Kong movie? I'm going to say no. I feel like if this was a Donkey Kong-centric movie, I feel like they'd have the confidence to announce it as that. I don't think they'd want to piggyback off of the Mario branding and then just kind of flip things when the movie actually gets revealed, like, oh, it's Donkey Kong. But just like how Lego Batman still made an appearance in the Lego movie sequel, even after getting his own movie, I still think there's a good chance Donkey Kong might be the supporting character in this. But in regards to the Mario branding, what would I like to see in a follow-up to the Super Mario Brothers movie? There's two things. One, I'd really like to see Princess Daisy. I kind of prefer Rosalina as a character, but I do think Daisy has kind of earned a spot in something like this more. You know, she's been around longer. Princess Peach had a huge role in the first movie, and Daisy's more commonly associated as Peach's best friend. And, you know, there's no longer that hard divide where she's only considered a spin-off character after Super Mario Brothers Wonder, so I think having Princess Daisy in there as a supporting character, that might be a lot of fun with her personality working off of everyone else. And the second one, I would say the Koopalings. I think they'd be very interesting to have, whether you make them Bowser's offspring or just children that Bowser chooses to have as his highest-ranking officers for whatever reason. I think it would be a lot of fun to cast 7 or 8 so celebrities and try to match their personalities with the appropriate Koopalings personality. But yeah, those are definitely the two things I would love to see in a sequel to the Mario movie. So yeah, I'd love to hear what you guys think, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for the call. Honestly, I have no idea. I'm gonna leave this one up to Heil.
Well, yeah, TJ, I also don't think they would kind of try to sneak through the Donkey Kong movie as getting everybody's expectations up for the Super Mario Brothers movie sequel. That being said, as I keep pointing out, very odd phrasing, because just call it the Super Mario Brothers movie 2. If you're not going to call it that, if you're going to be so ambiguous, so wishy-washy about the terminology at this point, what's the gimmick? Like, what's the catch here? So I'm just waiting to see what shoe is going to drop there. Maybe there won't be. Maybe they're just a bunch of corporate weirdos, and this is the branding they've decided to run with in the Mario Day press release. But I'm not taking the possibility that it could be the Donkey Kong movie completely off the table yet. And maybe that's just me being a hopeless romantic when it comes to Donkey Kong announcements. But yeah, as far as Daisy and the Koopalings go, I mean, it's possible, you know. Obviously, my theory doesn't include them, but, you know, when have I ever gotten what I want in a Mario movie? Not to say that my theory is what I want in a Mario movie, it's just where I think they could take it from all the little strands left dangling from the last time. My only concern about the Koopalings is there's so many of them that I don't know if you could properly flesh them out without having each character just be a kind of a one-note joke, get a couple lines in there. So it's a lot of real estate for characters who aren't necessarily similar but can read as very similar, and I realize that same argument could be made for the Kongs. And again, I'm just a biased little Donkey Kong boy, but that's my only concern with the Koopalings, is if you include the Koopalings, then yeah, you've just got a lot of characters that you have to deal with, which is why, speaking to our earlier calls, Bowser Jr. just might be the way they go. As much as I, for nostalgia purposes, prefer the Koopalings to Bowser Jr. You know, Bowser Jr. keeps things simple. Bowser's child, just one of them. You know, we don't need to bring in these ambiguous 7 others. Not to mention the other baby Bowsers, mini Bowsers from the Mario Party series, which Nintendo has just kind of ignored. But we'll remind them whenever we can. And yeah, you know, Daisy might be in it. I can see Daisy in this series eventually, because assuming the sequel doesn't just completely fall on its face, I do think they'll get around to including as many characters as they can as it goes on. And that includes Wario and Waluigi. If they don't make it in this, they will make it in one of them. The only characters I would really be surprised to see are the ones who have really just fallen down the memory hole because of disuse, falling into these Mario games that were made by either outside teams or just like out of the what's considered the core Miyamoto lineage. So Wart, you know, Tatanga, characters like that, Super Mario RPG weirdos with the rights issues and what have you. Those are the only ones I could see them, you know, never getting around to. But who's to say? I'm wrong so many times. So prove me wrong, Nintendo. Thanks for the call, TJ. And yeah, that's the end of this extremely disjointed episode, everyone. Jeff. I think Jeff maybe consumed a beverage or two before we started.
Yeah, no, Heil, they're paying for you to do a lot of editing and post. This is going to be a rough episode.
This has been a File 2 production.
Que rico.